Praise the Lord. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, everybody who works really hard. Not just yesterday for the celebration, but all the preparation the weeks before. We had a great time. A lot of plenty of food. Amen. That's always good. All right, let's go to the Word. And I believe today and next Sunday we are going to kind of review what the Lord is being speaking to us this year, last 6 months, and believing that He is preparing us for something good and great, greater for next year, 2018. But before I start with that, I got up this morning, went to pray, and after that I went to study my notes. My iPad is disabled somehow, and I couldn't make it work. So if you know how to disable an iPad, please let me know and help me, because I needed it. I miss it so much this morning.
Password too many times.
So, let's see where the Lord takes us, okay? Amen. So, yes, I feel like we want to review and speak about some key principles for us now that the Lord is speaking to us in different subjects, areas of our life. We talk about the paternity of God, which is, to me, a key revelation for us. We talk about honor and the rewards of honor. We talk about the mindset of the believers, the renewing of the mind. We talk about the first century church and how I believe that church needs to look today. We talk about the process of transformation. We talk about the character of a conqueror. We share about the testing, the endurance of our faith. We talk about the life of the world. We share about from process to conquer. We talk about hope and being prisoners of hope. And all of these revelations, I believe, is for God to help us to see who we are and what the future yields ahead, in order for us to enter in and to conquer. So I want to talk about some practical things, some of those I mentioned probably before, but I believe are key for us, not just as a church, but as individuals. In 1 Samuel 7:12, there's this situation where the people of God were transitioning. And it reads like this: Samuel then took a large stone and placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshurun. He named it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. For he said, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. So repeat after me, please. Up to this point, the Lord has helped us. Amen. Up to this point, the Lord has helped us to keep walking, keep believing, to have the doors of the church open. So this was a time of transitioning for the people of Israel. And they consecrate this event with an altar. So I believe that up to this point, the Lord truly had helped us in this process of transitioning from the, you know, the last few years, transition to have a new pastor with no experience. In all that, and up to this point, the Lord had helped me to be here before you And I believe it's because he haven't finished with us. I believe because he has purpose for us, and that he's been good to us. Okay, thank you, Ruby. I'm getting the information that I need because my iPad is my main tool. Hopefully I can work on that this afternoon. So, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. And when the people of Israel consecrated this time before the Lord, they knew that they were moving forward now. And they declared, we are believing. You can read the whole situation there, first Samuel. So, Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything that is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And I believe it's time for Hilltop to enter into a new season next year. A new beginning. 2018. A season of the fulfillment of the purposes, as this scripture says, a time for every purpose under heaven. And that we may experience the fulfillment of that purpose for us as individuals. Time is serving the natural process in life. I think I mentioned that before. The seconds, the minutes, the hours, the days, the months, and the years when we just are stepping into the process. And many times we don't see changes. We don't see things happening. That is the time that we are serving as a humans. But the season is the appointment time that the Lord has for us to enter, to possess, to really have the favor of God during the serving of the time. Sometimes, as I say, many times we don't see changes or movement. We don't experience those breakthroughs or those victories that we are being believing, praying for. That is just the time that we are serving. But in our season, the favor of the Lord is upon our life. Things are still to develop, getting more easy. They are start coming to us. So I believe the Lord is taking us to our season. Not just as individuals, but as a church and as a body. So I want to talk about some key principles to possess the promises of God. To really go and conquer. Now that we have taught, that we have revelation of the paternity of God, of the testing of our faith and the hope that we have in Him. Now that we are anchored in Him, that we are not going to be easily moved for the situations, the trials in life. I want to talk to practical things, principles, for possessing in the kingdom. And as I say, maybe some of this is like a small review of what the Lord is being speaking to us since the beginning of this year. So God is a God of order. And we see in the beginning, God put everything in order first, before anything else. The Bible says that there was chaos on the earth, and that the Holy Spirit was hovering or moving. So it is possible to have Holy Spirit, and it is possible to have chaos together. It is possible to have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life and be out of order. Because God is a God of order. He has a plan. And many times we focus on the things that we experience, like the Holy Spirit, and we need the Holy Spirit. But God always works in three parts. And in the beginning, if you want to see, to understand the design of God, the heart of God for everything, read Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, and 5. And you're going to have understanding of how the patterns of God, the order of God to do things. And he had this idea. He had this thought So God is the one who initiates anything with an idea, with a revelation, with a plan, with a purpose. So he had an idea to create the earth and everything that is in it. So he start everything in order. God always starts something in your life with an idea, a dream, something that he is birthed in his heart. So he had an idea. God, and we had talked about this a little bit, the principles for building. God is a builder. He has the plans. He has he knows the measurements. He knows the weather conditions. He knows the conditions of the soil. Everything in his mind. So he comes always with a good plan, a good future for us, because he's God. He's perfect. And then Jesus comes in, and he is the one who finances any plan, any project that comes from God. Is the Son Jesus. So there was chaos. God had an idea. The Holy Spirit was already there, ready. Nothing was happening. Disorder, until the one who pays a price, who financed any, was activated through the Word of God. Because Jesus is the eternal Word of God. It was until God says, "Let it be," that he declared a word, then the Holy Spirit start to move. So God has an idea. God has a plan for you and I, for the church. Jesus is the one who financed the plans of God. And on the cross, he paid the price to recover, to restore the big idea of God. So we see the Father, we see the Word, which is Jesus, being activated, and we see the Holy Spirit executing everything, you know, to come to pass, to finish the project. So God is a God of order. He always has a process of doing things. And we always need the God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit always working together. Because as I say, in the church, I had seen through many years of walking with the Lord, the Holy Spirit move, you know. And I have seen the church experience, you know, the fire, the miracles, and all that. And I have seen alongside that disorder, nor structure, no revelation, no understanding for the church to really be effective. So we focus many times on the things that for us are of more beneficial per se, but we forgot that there is a big picture, a big plan that God has. So we want to have that understanding and revelation in order for us as individuals have the right order for God then to come and execute his plan. So God is a God of order. 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. This is Paul talking. Colossians 2:5, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So order is simply the accurate arrangement of things. Your car is parking in your garage. Your clothes are in your closet. There is a perfect arrangement of things. That is just simple having order. And God wants us to have order. Fear is starting in our life. When we have the accurate arrangements of people and events, we increase our effectiveness. We increase our productivity. We increase the chances for multiplication and expansion. And God calls us to live in an orderly life. So from the beginning, from creation, we see the plan of God. Everything in a specific order. And that's also what I believe he is calling us, to have order in our life as individuals. So there is a law that is activated when we enter in that orderly process of God. In Genesis 1:28, let's go and read it there. God activates and establishes a law for us as his children. He says, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. The New Living Translation says, reign over everything. So God prepared all creation from day 1 to 6 for this very moment to declare into us what is our purpose, what is our goal, what is the reason that he created us, and why he blew himself into us to multiply, to increase, to reign. So increase is a divine reward for honoring a divine law. And of course, we know what happened. They broke this law when they decided to disobey the commandments of God. So this law was broken. Everything that God created has the command to multiply, to increase. You can read it on Genesis chapter 1. All the trees, all the animals, the birds, the fruits, he commanded them to increase. And he gave us, to us as a humans, the privilege and the honor to take care of all that and to enjoy and to administrate all his creation, to multiply. So everything that is not producing, usually is going to die. I remember last year, I don't have a lot of grass on my property, just a small portion on the front. So I decided to redo everything. And of course, I watch some YouTube videos as always. And I went to work, and so I took every living thing, and I reseeded and replanted and watered and all that, and I saw the results. You know, green, the grass started to being reproduced. And I was really, really encouraged about my hard work, about the blisters that I had after being working there for a few days. But guess what happened? I didn't finish the process, because I need to come back and reseed and rework to put more water and be faithful unto that. So therefore, there was only a few patches of green, and it wasn't looking really good. And because I took care of the rightly order of the process to give life to that grass, it just died. I didn't took the right care. So now I have to redo that again when it's possible. And it's the same thing with us as a humans. Because we decide to disobey, we enter into the death zone. You know, and we inherited that. So that's why we only come to life when we make Jesus part of our life. Then we can start experiencing the life of Christ in us. And then we need to start the process of put things in order in our life. Because how many of you know that we are not perfect? Right? But we have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. And we need to have the right design of God in order for us to be effective as individuals and as a church. So usually God kills anything that does not multiply. Like when Jesus went to the fig tree, expecting the tree to have some fruit, and when the fruit didn't have any, when this tree is supposed to have fruit, we know what happened. It died, because it wasn't producing anything. And multiplying expanding and producing is part of our design. It's already in us. There's no human, normal human being that doesn't have inside that desire for more, that desire to reproduce, that desire to expand. Any normal human being with Christ or without Him has that desire because it's part of our DNA. It's activated when Jesus comes into our life. So God commanded us to increase, to multiply in Genesis 1:28. So you and I, we need to start planning for next year. We need to start asking God what He has for us, what He wants us to accomplish, what He wants us to possess for next year. We need to start to making the necessary changes and arrangements towards that goal, because God has a plan and it's good and it's perfect for us. So we usually, if we don't have a plan of action, any planned time, planned hours, we always gravitate towards our weakness. Always, always, if we don't have order in our life. If we find that we haven't planned our day or our week, we want to find ourselves doing things that probably are not going to edify our life. Why? Because we don't have the design, that we don't have the plan of God. We haven't carefully started doing the necessary changes for that plan to be fulfilled in our life as individuals and as a body. So unplanned days are unproductive days. Unplanned years are unproductive years. Unplanned days are incubators for greater mistakes. Because you want to use that time on the wrong thing. I like to plan my day. Right now, I'm on next year mode already. Planning, receiving the vision from God for my life and for the church and for what the Lord called me to do and called us to do. I'm already thinking and start making the necessary arrangements and changes in my life, because God wants us to increase. It's His divine law for us. But we need to establish order. Make no mistake, we can be full of the Holy Spirit, have the anointing of God, operate on the supernatural. That is a good thing. But when I read the Bible, I read a book of design, a book of order, where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are always working together. Amen. And we have the three of them in our life. So we need to start thinking into building, not just our life, but building the church, because the church has a specific purpose. Go and preach. Make disciples. Equip people. Edify the church. So I want to talk to you about a principle. How edify the church. 1 Kings 6:7. 1 Kings 6:7. And the temple, when it was being built, was built with a stone finished at the quarry, so that not hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. So there was all this preparation before they were going to build a church. God gave them this magnificent principle for building anything, building your life, building the church. He says, I want to have this beautiful place, this beautiful temple with all the, you know, all the gold and silver of all these beautiful utensils, saying this design that came from my heart. But you want to have to do it this way. You want to have to prepare the building of my place where I'm going to dwell. And he says specifically, you want to do all the noise that you want in the quarry. There was this specific place where they prepare all the stones, right? And they worked there really hard. And they had everything ready. So when the time came, when the right season came, with the when the process finished, they just came and brought everything together, and they put it together. And the Bible says that he says, "I don't want sound, I don't want noises. There's a lot of work to do, so I want peace. I want unity. I want everybody to be doing what they need to be doing without any distractions. I want my builders just come and put things into place, right? Because all the noise, all the sound, all the hard work was done before. There was this preparation. Let's move forward to First Peter 2:5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, in the temple, the presence of God dwells, and people came to offer sacrifices to Him. Now we are that spiritual temple. We are those stones, the Bible says, that call us to build the body of Christ, the church. Different stones. Principle. If we want to build the church, usually what happens, and this is something that we talk about it in the beginning of this year. Actually, Chris spent three, four weeks, I believe, talking about on family. Family. And I believe God is being with us, you know, through the whole year, giving us the necessary revelation and words to prepare us for what He wants to do. And Chris was talking that families are the ones that are going to change the world. You know, that families that have the right revelation, the right structure, families that are full of the presence of God. And also, the church is formed, is built by families. Unfortunately, we come to church and we bring a lot of noise from our families, from our life. And I'm talking, if you are single, this applies to you. I'm not talking about just families with husband and wife and children. No, for any individual, any individual. And we bring, because we don't prepare, we don't do our preparation before, we bring all that noise, you know, to the church. We bring all our stuff, all our issues, we bring all our conflicts, all our problems, all our divisions. And make no mistake, there's a place, a department on the church that takes care of all these things. But when we don't have the understanding and the revelation that God wants to build His house, His church, in a quietly, peaceful, in unity way, what the church turns to is just a place of conflict, divisions. And this is just because I believe there's a lack of revelation on the plans and on the designs of God, on how God wants to do things. So there's a responsibility that we have as individuals. There's a responsibility that I have as a husband, as a dad, to take care of my home, my family, to focus on to establish the order of God there, because I know that if we have families with understanding in the, with the right design, that is always speed up the process to build a church. To build a church. So, God is a God of order. He wants us to build a church. Successful churches are the ones who have successful families who model the life of Christ. So, if you are a single person here, I'm going to encourage you to start to find out what are the things in your life that God is calling you to put in order. Because let me tell you something. If you wait, or if you said, well, I'm gonna wait until I get married and all that. Usually what happens is that if you don't take care, if you don't have order, now when you get married, those things are just magnified. They are made worse, big, and then there's a lot of noise here in your home. And when we come to church, we bring all that baggage to church. Therefore, it's more difficult to build the church. We are, the Bible says, living stones. We have the presence, the Holy Spirit in us, and God wants to use us to build the church. So what I believe the Lord is calling us to start doing for next year, not just next year, the rest of your life, start understanding the design of God, start arrangement of the different things as an individual. And I'm pretty sure that when we have that revelation and understanding, that things at church just speed out in a supernatural way. Why? Because that's the design of God. That's the blueprint. That's how God established things for us. Order. And then the law of increase is activated because Christ in us is being reproduced in a supernatural way. But practical things, start planning the dream that you have. Start put things in order. Otherwise, sometimes our future is just a today that is extended for years to come. If we are not willing to make changes today by the revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit, tomorrow is just going to be an extension of today. Therefore, you don't have future. We don't have future. Why? Because we are just reproducing the same thing over and over and over and over. So the things that we are not willing to change probably are going to determine how our future looks like. You guys are being too quiet. I am being too violent. This is revelation from the Word of God for us to say, yes Lord, I need to start looking into these things in my life, putting things in order. Because simple, when we line up with the principles of God, let me tell you something, the Holy Spirit starts to making things happening. When the Father, Jesus, who already financed your dream, financed the church, then the Holy Spirit comes to execute the plan of God for us as individuals. Number two, do things with all your being. So number one, God is a God of order, and He is calling us to put things in order. The accurate arrangements of things, and I'm believing that for next year we're going to have the accurate arrangement of people and events here in the church. That is going to increase, that is going to enable us to bring the harvest in. Number two, do things with all your being. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might or with all your strength. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. There are times and seasons, times where the Lord is calling us to rest, times where the Lord wants to enter us into our season, and the Bible says, do everything that you have finds to do with your might. I had operated on these principles since I got saved. That's why I don't have any problem with setting up the sound system, do whatever my hands are able to do, because it's a principle of the kingdom, because tomorrow I may not have that opportunity, and I'm investing for eternity serving my God. And as I say, I do it with all my heart, but I do it with revelation, because I know that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So, as I say, it is in me, if I see a need and I can do it, I just want it to do it. I feel to do it. I want it to do it. And I don't have any problem with doing that and do whatever my hands finds to do, because I know that we don't have tomorrow, maybe. You know, we have just the limited time that God has for us, and I want to present myself before Him, and I want to tell Him, Lord, I was the pastor of the church, but I knew how to do sound, and you know, I don't want to be before Him and says, but I was the pastor, and that was not something that a pastor shall be doing. No. In my heart, I just want to serve. I just want to do whatever I can. And I plan my time around all of these things that men can. Why? Because the Bible says, wherever you have things to do, do it with your might, with all your being, with all your heart, with all your strength. So, there's a lot of things to do in the church. There's a lot of work to do, but God wants us to do it in unity, with peace, with joy. How we can accomplish that? When we put our life, when we put our homes in order, and that is going to just flow naturally, supernaturally, to the church. So, number three, obedience activates the blessings of God. Deuteronomy 28:2 reads, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord, your God. All these blessings shall come upon you. You don't have to seek for those blessings. You don't have to worry. They will come automatically. They will follow you. They will fall upon you. You want to start experiencing them. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He give us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. Expect blessings. You have listened, you have heard, you have obeyed the instructions of God. Now expect miracles. Because they're going to come upon you automatically. It's a promise of God. Blessings are benefits from God that increase your joy and enable you to complete His instruction for your life. Obedience paid off big time with the Lord. Obedience is always rewarded. Blessings are guaranteed to those who walk uprightly, as we just read it. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. Obedience is a only real proof of our faith to God. That is how He measures. Obedience is the only real proof about the love that we have towards God. John chapter 14, first letter of John, read it today, and you want to see how measure up our love to Him when we obey Him. There's no mystery on that. There's nothing that nobody cannot understand, that obedience is how God measures our love and our faith. And it's always going to bring blessings automatically upon our life. So how we need to start preparing our hearts and our life for next year? Telling the Lord, I want to obey you. I want to abide by what you have planned for me. Number four. Oh my goodness. Time's up. Start changing your future today. As I said, your future is decided for what you are willing to change today. The future of the church is going to be decided for what we are willing to change. The difference between today and your future is revelation knowledge given by God. As I said it before, if you don't learn anything new today from the scripture, from the Lord, from the spirit, tomorrow will be just like today. Oh, there are dangers of not trusting in the promises of God, and God has plenty of promises for us. One of the things that I've been talking a lot about is to have the right identity, to know our right identity, because we will never outperform the self-portrait that we have of ourselves. Never. When Moses sent the 12 spies to the land, 10 came with an evil report, the Bible says, and 2, Caleb and Joshua, came with a good report. So, 12 were giant conscious. They said, let's read a little bit on Numbers 13. Numbers 13. It reads on the verse 20, the last part. And bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. When they went to spy, they saw that it was the right season to bring the harvest in. And I believe 2018 is the season to bring the harvest in for us, for the church, to fulfill the call, not just for Hilton, for any church that has the revelation, knowledge, the understanding, and how to do it. God is going to always come through and He's going to honor His principles, those that we are talking about. But 10 were giant conscious, 2 were God conscious. Only 2. 10 saw all the impossibilities and all their limitations, but 2 believe in the promises of God and says, yes, we can do it. 10 could not see beyond the giants, so they embraced the grasshopper mentality. Never enter the land God promised them. They ignored the wisdom of God and forfeited their opportunity for success. Your self-portrait determines your self-conduct. What you think of who you are, of your person, is going to determine how you walk in life. And 10 of them knew the promises, saw God Almighty moving, you know, in the desert. And they say, no, we can't. It is impossible. So our attitude, when we talk about ourselves, determines what we do. Determines if we are winners or losers. Losers focus on their problems. Losers discuss their obstacles. Losers focus on their enemies' achievements. They are giants. We saw them on the land. The land is good, but they are giants. Losers adopt a victim mentality. Winners focus on possibilities. Winners embrace opportunities. Winners pursue miracles. Winners have a sonship mentality. Key! Again, winners are simple ex-losers who got mad. Yeah. Until you get tired to lose, until you got upset with your situation and start believing in the promises of God and start moving in faith, we are not going to be able to possess what rightfully belongs to us. Listen. Every preacher, every pastor, every evangelist in some point needs to take the decision to impart, to speak about the promises of God that we can have in, hopefully in the near future, and start focusing on those promises, or take the decision to impart to you the revelation to possess your inheritance today. There's a whole different ball game there. There's a whole different approach into what you want to impart to the church. And I'm feeling from the Spirit of God next year, focus on that revelation, high level revelation, and how we can possess our inheritance today. Today. There are other principles, and of course, the standards are high. Because what happened is that when we don't impart that revelation, sometimes and many times, the church, the individuals, is not able to enter in the fullness of the anointing, of the power to possess what belongs to us, and the fulfillment of our call as a church. Forget what you have lost. Focus on what you already possess. What you have in your hand. God told Moses, just a simple rod, and with that one, he parted the Red Sea. Mm-hmm. You have something in your hand. You have something in your life that God wants to start to use today. And from that, start taking you to possess what rightfully belongs to you. Many times we have to step out in faith towards our future and embrace those opportunities. Other times, we may simply need to create an atmosphere of gratitude for what is in your presence. And I'm so thankful for what I have right now. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be among you, to speak to you, and that you come to listen to me. You have no idea how thankful I am for that, and the desire and the burden that I have to seek the Lord to speak revelation to you. So I'm thankful for my presence, and I create that atmosphere around me. But also I have the expectancy for the future of what the Lord has for me. I take it as an opportunity. Canaan is successful territory. And the Lord had talked to us in the past few years about crossing to the other side, to the promises that God has for us. So, God will build an invisible picture of your future. That will come a dream. Will be something you can do. Something that you can become. Or something you can have. And this is the work of Satan. Joseph had a dream that he was going to be the prime minister, and then he started the process. Every man and woman in the Bible had a dream, a vision from God. And the work of Satan is just coming and staying that vision so you don't see it anymore, so you don't pursue it anymore. That is his only work. But when we have a dream from God, he's going to fulfill it. So Satan wants to, his strategy is to cloud this picture that you have. Please listen to me right now. You need to start having a picture of what next year is going to look like, and start asking the Lord, asking the Holy Spirit, start seeing it in your mind, in your heart. You need to have this. And Satan always wants to come and stain, cloud that vision. We have prophetic words for this church, yes or no? Yes, we do. And they are secure, and they are yes and amen. Let's move next year to fulfill those promises. Satan is being at work, but we are giving him an eviction notice. Start right now in your mind, in your heart, to have that picture. You must recognize the dream that God used to steal your faith, to steal your hope, to inspire you. That dream that is going to give you directions, that is going to be a blessing to others. The enemy work is to stain your self-portrait. Your self-portrait determines the kind of enemy you are willing to confront. They saw giants and they say, we can. The other two says, let's go at once. We're going to eat them as bread. God is faithful to his word. So only two of all that generation were able to possess the land, the promises of God. And I believe that God is raising a new generation of people with that DNA from heaven. He now meets this small group of people to next year, 2018, go and conquer. But you need to see yourself as who you are, not with a grasshopper mentality. And you know that the grasshopper, the caterpillar, the cricket, all of those small animals, they come from the same family. They come and they have to go to the process of transformation. And remember the picture that I show you when we become the butterfly that God called us to do, and that we need to operate on that dimension of what the Lord called us to do. But the grasshopper mentality is going to prevent us changing of our mind. And I'm going to finish with a law of expectation really quick, if the worship team wants to come forward. And I was talking with the students a few weeks back about this principle from Mark 9:22. When the father brought his son to be set free from demons, and the apostles couldn't do it, in Mark 9:22, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So he came and told Jesus, this is a very, very difficult situation. Your disciples couldn't do anything, but if you can, have compassion. So at this point, he came and says, teacher, if you can. And Jesus comes right back to him, if you can. What are you talking about if I can? If you can. If you can. If you can believe. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believe. Jesus can do it if you can. He's able. Whatever situation in your life. He says, see my son, these many years, he's suffering. He's under this situation. If you can. The New Living Translation says, what do you mean if I can? Jesus asks. Anything is possible if a person believes. And he says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord! So, he had another revelation, because early he came and says, teacher, this is a condition. But here he received a revelation of who Jesus really was. And he says, Lord, Lord, help me to believe. So, there are great and mighty things that the Lord wants to step in next year. How do I know? Because that's His design. That's how He created us too. Once we open our life, we receive Jesus, we have everything that we need to conquer. And of course, we talk about all the process. So I believe the Lord has been talking to us about the past, about who we are. And now we are getting ready to start getting to a new year. And there are practical things, principles from God that I believe we all need to be aware of if we really, really, truly want to experience new things in the Lord. He's ready for us. He's ready for us. He said there's nothing impossible for God. Amen? There's nothing. And he says, there's nothing impossible for you if you believe. So, if you, on anything in your life, have come before the Lord and says, God, if you can, Jesus, if you can change this situation, if you can do this, if you can do that, he's telling you today, if you can, I can, if you can, just believe. Just believe, and we have His grace to believe for great and mighty things. Let's believe, Hilltop. The next year is a year of breakthrough, victory, going to the promised land. Successful territory. If you are tired of the same, if you are tired to lose, God wants to make you a winner today. if you start to see yourself in victory. Let's stand on our feet. We're going to close in prayer. And start seeing yourself for next year. Start to ask the Lord the revelation so you can start putting things in order. And we want to enter in. We are going to conquer. I see a group of people, group of winners in Christ. You have gone through much, a lot of things, a lot of sufferings, some defeats. But now, I declare that in the name of Jesus, we are going to conquer. We are going to possess what belongs to us. So I start asking the Lord to resurrect that dream, that word, that rhema. Start seeing yourself as the winner that you are. Run the race in a such way that you win it. The Bible says, for him, we are not losers. We are winners already. Because Jesus conquered. Because the victory of Jesus, not because our own abilities, our own talents, our own strength. No, because Christ in you, Christ in us. God can do it today. If you can, he can do it. If you can, just believe. You have that faith in you already to conquer that giant. To bring it down in the name of Jesus. You already have it in you. Enough faith to believe. Activate it right now in your mind, in your heart. And as we worship, start declaring it. Start speaking to those mountains. Come before God and thank him. And see your mountain and rebuke it. Many times we come to talk to God about our mountains, about our problems. But he says, rebuke it, you! Rebuke it! Command it to move! Speak to your mountains. Don't speak to God about your mountains, about your problems. Speak to your situation. And it's going to move if you believe. It is a sure thing in the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus. So as we are worshiping, as we are declaring all of these things, start seeing yourself on 2018 in victory. Activate your future today and start asking the Lord for the necessary changes for your life. He is here. The Holy Spirit is ready to activate in you the supernatural of God for you to start walking in total victory and start making the right arrangements in your life, in your family. Hallelujah. Let's worship for a few minutes. If you have to go, feel free to go. And I pray that the Lord is going with you, that this word is operating in you, is activated in you, and that he is going to start revealing to you all those necessary changements. Change the order, the faith, the obedience, the design for you. Be blessed. Thanks for coming. We stay a little bit late, but I believe the Lord wants to get us ready to experience the fullness of his promises starting today. Be blessed. Thanks for coming. If you want to stick around, we want to just worship for a few more minutes. Thank you.